Now, shall we turn this evening to Mark chapter 4? We're going to read the first 25 verses of that chapter. And it's all of those verses, in fact, or the message of all of those verses that we're going to look at this evening. Mark chapter 4, and reading from verse 1 to verse 25 of the chapter. And Jesus began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and set in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he saith unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Amen. May God bless those words to our hearts. In those verses that we read together this evening from Mark's Gospel, we have one of the great parables that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke in the course of his earthly ministry in this world of ours. We have the explanation of that parable, of course, as the Lord is approached and asked to give an explanation by those who were his immediate disciples. And then we have the application of the parable and the truth of the parable for anyone who has ears to hear, as our Lord says in the course of those verses. Now, the parable, of course, is the parable of the sower. That's how our Lord himself refers to it in another one of the gospel accounts. And it's a parable that's absolutely simple and straightforward in its application and in its explanation as well. Our Lord tells it quite straightforwardly, and then he comes, he explains it for those who want to know the spiritual understanding of it. And the explanation itself is really just as simple and straightforward as the parable. And then our Lord comes, of course, and our Lord makes direct application with regards as to how that parable and the truth of it should have been received in the hearts and the minds and the souls of men and women. For this evening, then, I want us to look at in a very simple, straightforward way the parable itself with its spiritual meaning, and then the application of that parable as the Lord grants it to us. And praying that we might just look at it in that simple, straightforward fashion, uncluttered and with those truths that are so vital, because indeed the kind of truths on which our eternal soul hangs, either with regards to the salvation of our souls forever and ever, or the damnation of our souls for all eternity as well. First and foremost, then, the parable and the explanation that the Lord gives of that parable. And this particular account of the parable in Mark's Gospel, of course, has a peculiar vantage point that's told to us. Our Lord, in fact, speaks the parable from a ship or from a boat. He, of course, is engaged in that circuit of preaching in the region of Galilee and round about the city of Capernaum. And the crowds are gathering after the Lord and coming after the Lord in great numbers indeed, so that when he begins to preach at the seashore, he's being pushed further and further back towards the sea, it might seem, until the Lord asks for a boat to be launched out. He makes that boat, as he has done on many occasions before, into a pulpit. And from that boat pulpit, then, the Lord begins to teach, and he begins to speak this parable that's known as the parable of the sower. Now, it's quite possible, without pressing the point, but it's quite possible from that vantage point of that boat, that fishing boat, the Lord then could have looked up into the hills of Galilee that, of course, would have come sweeping down to the Sea of Galilee where the Lord was preaching from that fishing boat. And possibly while our Lord looked up there, he saw some lone figure sowing his seed, casting his seed into the ground at this particular time of the year, and then he would look for the harvest to come forth. Quite possible that the Lord did that, and he would make his point, you see, by a visible illustration itself of a sower up there in the hills sowing his seed, and so the Lord would apply this message about this parable that he speaks, and the sower who went to sow his seed in the course of the parable. Now, the Lord often did that kind of thing. The Lord often took a particular scene that he was engaged in and applied some truth out of that scene. You remember one of the most outstanding examples, when there's that great debate about what a man owed to the government. Should he pay his taxes or should he not pay his taxes? And the Lord asked for a penny, a denarius, and with that coin he holds it up before the people and he says, look, whose image, whose superscription is this on the coin? Well, it's Caesar's image. They say it's Caesar's superscription. Well, then, says the Lord, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, render unto God the things that are God's. And the Lord often took the things that surrounded him, and with those things that surrounded him, the Lord then pressed home his message, pressed home the truth that he wanted men and women to understand and to hear in their hearts and their souls. And so, as I say, it's quite possible then, from this seaside pulpit in this fishing boat, and with the hills of Galilee sweeping down to the Sea of Galilee, then the Lord might well have spied a sower going forth to sow his seed, and would have had a ready word to speak with regards to that man and the truth of the gospel that he's presenting in the course of the parable. Now, whether that was the case or not, of course, it's not necessarily the case. And anyway, it was a well enough scene. Everybody would have known quite clearly exactly what it was when the Lord began to speak his words. And so immediately when he would have said, behold, there went a sower forth to sow. And then all of those familiar images that come after, and all the earthly meaning and all the earthly sense to those people concerned who were listening to him at that time. So it's simple. It's straightforward, it's to the point, it's something that the Lord takes up from the very world in which we exist, and it's no less familiar to us today, even though we live in the kind of world that we live in, the kind of age that we live in. All of those things are absolutely as clear and as straightforward today. We all know about sowing, we all know about planting, we all know about harvests that have to come forth, And the message of the parable of the sower then is meant to be simple and straightforward to all of our hearts. Let's just look at the words then, going through the parable itself, and then we'll come to the spiritual application of the parable. Verse 3 then. Hearken, says the Lord, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And then says our Lord in that verse 9, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so the sower went forth to sow, says the Lord, and some of his seed fell by the wayside, or as another gospel has it, some of it fell by the footpath. And what that means is this. When people cultivated fields in those days, they had usually only one field. You remember how Barnabas had one field, but he sold it and brought the price and laid it to the apostles' feet. So most people really had only one field, at least the common run of people. And that field, of course, was in the midst of a whole lot of other fields. It was a square patch of ground that that person owned and cultivated. But they owned that patch of ground and cultivated among with other owners and other people who cultivated their fields. And so to mark off each individual field, there were footpaths, there were waysides, so that a man who had a field in the midst of many other fields could gain access to his fields. And so you can imagine over the years how those access paths, those bypaths, those waysides, those footpaths became hardened and baked with the passage of time, with the feet going back and forward, with the sun baking that soil hard. So, of course, when a person sowed his seed, and all of those hearers of Christ that day, the majority of them, would have known exactly what the Lord was saying when he spoke about a man sowing his field and some of the seed that he sowed falling onto the footpath, falling onto the wayside. And they would have known all too well exactly what happened when their seed fell on the wayside. Down came the birds of the air, says the Lord, snatched up that seed as soon as it fell on the hard ground, didn't penetrate into the ground, and devoured it and swallowed it up. Some of the grains of the seed, says the Lord, fell on stony ground. Some ground that had a lot of stones mixed with the earth. And because there was no depth of earth, says the Lord, then whatever growth there was only sprang up for a short time, and then it withered away, and it came to nothing. Some other, he says, fell among thorns, but the thorns eventually choked out that seed, and it yielded no fruit. And some fell on good ground, he says, and the good ground received it, and brought forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. So says the Lord, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And as you can see, my friends, and I'm sure you know this all too well, straightforward, simple, parable, earthly story with a heavenly meaning, absolutely abounding in images, readily recognized, readily seen, as far as those earthly images were concerned, in the lives of those people to whom the Saviour spoke. Now, what's the spiritual explanation? Because, of course, those people, the immediate disciples of the Lord, want a spiritual explanation, and that the Lord gives from verse 14 onwards. He starts off very straightforwardly, and he said unto them, the sower soweth the word. And then come all of those different spiritual conditions that answer, that correspond to those natural conditions of that man's field in which he sowed his seed. But you see, right at the outset, says the Lord, the seed in the parable is the word of Almighty God. And it's the word of God when it's preached and presented and proclaimed and declared in the hearts and in the hearing of men and women. The sower goes forth to sow his seed, and that seed is received in many different ways, in many different kinds of hearts, and as it is cast into the field of this world, there are many soil conditions with regards to the reception of that seed, and it's those soil conditions in their spiritual sense then that the Lord goes on to spell out in the application of the parable, and they again are absolutely straightforward and absolutely meant to be straightforward to our hearts and our souls. Some hearts, says the Lord, are like the footpath, the wayside, who, when they have heard it, he says, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Some are like the stony ground, he says in verse 16, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Some are like the thorny ground, he says, such as hear the word, and then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and many other things enter in and choke out the word. But some are like the good ground, those that hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so, as I say, my friends, the explanation of the parable is every bit as straightforward and simple and easy to grasp as the parable itself. It's a parable about the Word of God, and it's a parable about our hearts and our minds and our reception in our hearts and in our minds of the Word of Almighty God. It's the same seed. Exactly the same seed that was sown by that man in exactly the same soil in that field that he sowed his seed in, except there were different things mixed up in different parts of that soil, and so determined how that seed was reacted on by the soil into which it fell. The Savior takes that parable and he spells out that parable clear and easy for each and every one of us to receive if we have ears to hear and if we have hearts to understand. It's about hard hearts. Hard hearts, my friends, that hear the word of God and hear it and hear it and hear it. And those hard hearts bounce the word of God out of their hearts. The devil comes up, snatches away that seed, and nothing is done whatsoever that lasts in that person's soul. Other hearts are shallow hearts. You can't make impressions on them one way or another. The impression lasts but for a transient period of time, but there's no real root, no real depth, no desire to understand anything, even though their eternal damnation or salvation rests on it. Some, sad to say, says the Lord, are overcrowded hearts, and the word will go in a wee bit, but there are so many things in their hearts, my friends, the things of this world and the things of self and the things of aggrandishment, that word, even though it goes in a wee bit, is eventually choked out of the heart. And some is good ground, of course, ready to receive that word when it is proclaimed in the gospel and in every other way, and ready to act upon that word and to bring forth that fruit. So you see, even now, because it is so simple and straightforward, my friends, even now, it becomes us to ask, what kind of ground are we? What kind of heart? Come on now. It's a hard heart that receives nothing, a shallow heart that receives but for a little, an overcrowded heart that won't retain what is heard, or is it a good heart? And a good heart, says the Lord, brings forth fruit out of that word of God that is sown in that heart, and it brings it forth 30-fold, 60-fold, aye, he says, 100-fold. That heart can bring forth fruit when that word is received in that heart. Now you see, there's nothing in the parable. There's no point in reading into the parable how the soil got good or anything else. That's another question in the Word of God. And the parable simply has to do with this, the preaching of God's Word and the reception of God's Word in different kinds of hearts where that Word is preached and proclaimed. And that's the parable. And that's the meaning. And let me say this, and it's not I that's saying it anyway. There's no more important parable in the Word of God. You see what the Lord says there to his disciples in verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? It's a kind of key, a kind of foundation for understanding. And of course, isn't that the case? My friends, I've said it so often that we know absolutely nothing about God apart from God's Word. And so if we don't receive God's Word in the first place, we'll never ever understand or know anything whatsoever about God's Word. And this parable has all got to do about the sowing of the seed of God's Word and the receiving of God's Word. And so when the Lord comes to make his application of that, we see how important the parable is and is meant to be for all times, for all of our hearts and all of our souls. Well, let's look at the application then of the parable. And the application, in fact, comes in the form of two illustrations. You might also almost say two lesser parables, at least two scenes from everyday life that those people would have understood. And again, they are really straightforward. And again, they're really to the point. Now look at verse 21 then. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And then he presses that application. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And so the Lord applies the parable, and you might say, presses the application of that parable with regards to hearing God's word and hearing God's word aright. Now listen. He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? You know, the condescension of the Savior. And here the Lord speaks to these people, and many of them at this point have got hearts, no doubt, that resemble that hardened footpath. But the Lord comes and the Lord speaks in language so absolutely crystal clear, and he appeals to their absolute common sense. Look, he says, to what use do you put a candle? What do you use a lighted candle for? What do you do with a candle when you light it? He says, do you come and put it under a bushel, which was a measure that they measured things with in those days? Or he says, do you put it under a bed? Now, my friends, that's absolutely delightful. And you know, our Savior, you see, time and time again, you listen to this well, time and time again, the Lord, as it were, held up a mirror to men and women so that they might see their own behavior in that mirror. The Lord does it very, very often in a very gentle and compassionate and gracious fashion so that we might almost be able to see ourselves in all our antics and laugh at ourselves. And through the laughing at ourselves, we might be able to come to our senses and take ourselves seriously with regards to our soul's salvation. And says the Lord, here's a man with a lighted candle. And what does he do with the lighted candle? Does he put it under a bushel? Now, wouldn't that be silly? Wouldn't that be stupid? Wouldn't the light go out? Or he says, does he put it under a bed? My word, wouldn't that be disastrous? And disastrous results would ensue if a man put a lighted candle under a bed. Who ever heard of such a thing? Is that any way to treat a lighted candle? And hear it, my friends, that the Lord, I say, did this time and time again. A few weeks ago when we were on those Sabbath controversies that the Lord entered into. And you see, it was those scribes, those theologians that came up to Jerusalem, up from Jerusalem to Galilee, that were really after the Lord. You remember how the Lord speaks about a man's beast falling into the ditch on the Sabbath day? And says the Lord, now what would you do if your beast fell into the ditch on the Sabbath day? And of course, the great point was this. In all probability, those city-educated theologians from Jerusalem hadn't a clue what you would do with a beast that fell into a ditch on the Sabbath day. The old Galilean farmers in the synagogue at Capernaum, they knew all about that. And as somebody as well said, couldn't you see them slapping their thigh at what the Lord said and having a quiet chuckle at those scribes with all their reasoning? The Lord came many's a time, my friends, and he lifted up, as it were, enough of our own behavior to expose us gently in our behavior so that we might be able to see how ludicrous our behavior is. And so the Lord says here, with regards to receiving this word of God, he says, you see that you receive it aright and use it aright. Use it the way a man would use a candle for the right purposes and not for the wrong purposes. Does a man light a candle to put it under a bushel or under a bed and not to set it on a candlestick? What do you do with a candle? You know that well, he says. What do you do with my word? And what you must do with my word is this: you must receive my word into good ground, into right hearts, in order that my word might bring forth fruit in your lives, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Very simply, it's the use of God's word or the abuse of God's word that the Savior is speaking about. And what do you do with the word of God? How do you treat the word of God? How do you use the word of God? Do you use it the way a man uses a lighted candle to give light? Or do you abuse it and only bring your own soul's damnation upon yourself? Let me say just this before we go on. You see how appropriate the parable is in the whole setting, the whole total setting of Mark's gospel at this point. You remember the verses last week at the end of chapter 3, the Beelzebub controversy, as it's called. You remember then our Lord goes on to speak about the unforgivable sin. And then there come those members of the Lord's family and want to see him, the Lord's earthly family. As we said last week, my friends, what the unforgivable sin is, when all is said and done, there's a lot of mystery attached to it. On the other hand, it could be quite straightforward. You could rightly say that the unforgivable sin, or at least a non-forgivable sin, is unbelief. Plain, simple, straightforward unbelief. That, in fact, is a sin against the Holy Spirit. Because, says the Lord, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will convince the world of sin because they believe not on me. And when a person refuses to believe the testimony of God's word given by God's Holy Spirit, that person is most assuredly sinning against God's Holy Spirit. And for as long as they continue in that unbelief, they are never forgiven. Because it's only our belief that grants us forgiveness from all our sin. And of course, when those people come who were members of the Lord's earthly family, they were wanting to claim a right of access to the Lord because they were members of his earthly family. But you recall again those words of verse 34, and he looked round about them on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. How do we enter into God's family? By faith, by believing. How do we end up in an unforgiven state forever and ever? By not believing. And you see, if we could only grasp this aright, that it all ultimately and eventually comes down to this word. This word. What do we do with this word? Do we believe it or do we reject it? And so, in fact, when the Lord goes on to tell the parable of the sower as marked by the Holy Spirit, sets it out now for us, you see how appropriate it is. Because there is only one way of forgiveness. There is only one way of entering into that right relationship, in fact, that family relationship with Christ, and that is by the right reception of this word. This word rightly received into right hearts, so that it brings forth fruit to the praise of God in the gospel, 30, 60, and 100-fold to the praise of God's name. And so the Lord applies the parable very simply. What do you do with the seed? Do you do with the seed what a man you might expect him to do with a lighted candle? Or do you act in all your idiocy with regards to that word as it's presented to you? And so the Lord presses the application then in that verse 24 and verse 25. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. What's the Savior saying? Well, in fact, the Lord is saying now, here's the right use of a bushel. You don't use a bushel to cover a candle. You use a bushel measure to measure things. And so the Lord is speaking here, really what you might say, about measure for measure. And he says, in fact, take heed how and what ye hear with regards to this word in the gospel, for according as to how ye hear, so it shall be meted out to you. And in fact, my friends, not to put too fine a point on it, our Savior is now speaking about that dread process that the Word of God sets out before us time and again, judicial deafening, very simply, that a person can deafen and deafen and deafen their ears to the Word of God until God deafens their ears and they hear no more ever again. You see, that's exactly what the Lord is saying here in these particular words. Whosoever has, to him will be given. In other words, as a person opens up their ears and opens up their heart and opens up their soul to the Word of God, to that person shall be given more and more and more of the Word of God. But as a person closes up their heart and their ear and their mind and their soul to the Word of God, from that person shall be taken away even that which they seem to have of the Word of God. They shall be judicially deafened by God's judgment against them for that behavior. I don't know when that takes place in a person, nor how that takes place in a person. But I know this, my friends, that the Word of God sets it out enough times to make it to be a serious matter in all of our hearts and in all of our minds. And so if you refuse the light, you see, in your heart, then the light is taken away and withdrawn from your hearts. Terrible irony in the Word of God, you know, that hell, everlasting damnation, one of the descriptions of it, is outer darkness. Then shall they be cast into outer darkness. Why that? Well, surely for this reason. Because those people, unbelievers, who end up in outer darkness, they end up in outer darkness because they despise the light of the gospel all their lifetime through, as the Savior says. Ye love darkness rather than light. Well, because you love darkness, then you shall have darkness all the eternity that you shall exist forever and ever. But to use what God gives leads to increase, and to abuse what God gives leads to decrease and to that ultimate darkness and that ultimate emptiness forever and ever. And we're to take the application, believers and unbelievers, we're to take the application, my friends. The Lord doesn't distinguish just there between believers and unbelievers. He simply says, take heed what ye hear, for with what measure ye measure, and so on. And with regards to our salvation and with regards to our sanctification, the same word holds good. You remember we cited David this morning out of one of those psalms where he can stand at that particular point in the history of this world, and he can say, I have more understanding than the ancients, which indeed he did. More understanding than Moses, more understanding than Abraham, because he was at that particular point in the ongoing history of redemption as it's set out in this world of ours. But it wasn't just an empty kind of thing. It wasn't an automatic thing. Because that same David goes on to say, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. You see, it wasn't simply just that he could read something more. No, no. He could understand what he read. Why could he understand what he read? Because as he understood what he read, he kept and performed what he read. And as he kept and performed what he read, so he understood more of what he read. And that's the process, my friends. And there's no greater judgment that can come on the professing churches of Christ in this world that when they consistently refuse the light of God's word to that point where God takes away the light and leaves a half dimness in their midst. And so the Lord sets out the word for all of us, and it's a full word. Complementary to it, what Mark says here is what Luke says. You see what Mark says? He says, take heed what ye hear. Luke says, or the Lord says through Luke rather, take heed how ye hear. So we're to take heed what we hear. We're to take heed how we hear. The Lord says very definitely, hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We're under obligation to hear. But we're to make sure that what we hear is the truth of God and the truth of God to our souls. And then we're to make sure how we hear, what we do hear, as the Lord calls us to that obligation. Take heed, as it says in another place, therefore, what ye hear. And so in the light of all of the application of that parable that the Lord sets forth, or the explanation rather, of that parable, now the Lord applies it, and the Lord says very simply, take heed, as this word is presented to you, as this seed is sown forth in your midst. Take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear. Very simply, once again, remember those grounds. Hard ground, shallow ground, overcrowded ground, ready ground. And surely it becomes as simply to ask ourselves, what kind of ground? Are we hard ground? Now, if you're unconverted tonight, really, when all's said and done, there really are two kinds of grounds here. That which is productive and that which is not productive. We did a bit of production for a time, but you see, as far as everlasting things are concerned, there is only one ground really that is absolutely and ultimately productive in the things of the Lord, and that's that ready heart that the Savior speaks about. But if you're unconverted, my friends, at that point, where your heart is hard so that the word of God just settles there for a second, and then immediately, as the Lord says, the devil comes and swoops away that word out of your heart. Remember this also, that even when we're believers, there can be those times in our lives where we resemble that same hard ground. Isn't it the case? Go out into our gardens at the moment. I don't suppose some of us are keen to go out at any time. But it's hard to imagine that the same ground that we were pushing our hand into just a lot of months ago and lifting out potatoes or whatever, that same ground, my friends, would break our hand now if we hammered it against it. Same ground. But you see, has come the cold and the frost. Now it's like that. And at any point in our lives, our hearts can resemble that hard ground that never receives the word of God that we need but for a second until the devil comes and snatches away that word out of our hearts. Can be a word of exhortation, can be a word of encouragement, can be a word of comfort, can be any kind of a word, but if our heart is not receptive to that word, we lose the word out of our heart. Those shallow hearers that the Savior speaks about. No depth, no ability to be really impressed in the things of the gospel. They hear, and but for a little time the impression lasts, and then it goes away. And what can you say of those overcrowded hearts there in 18 and 19? And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Surely of anything, the saddest state of all, my friends, the word sown, the word seems to take root, but along come the thorns and choke it out. What thorns? Well, says the Lord, things like this. Cares. Cares. When we get our eyes fixed on the things of this world and not on the things of eternity, and the cares of this world make us unproductive and unfruitful to the praise and the glory of Christ. He says riches. Riches is always a relative thing, because a person can be dragged down with the spirit of riches whether they've got 50 pence in their pocket or 50,000 pounds in their pocket. Always relative. And he says the pleasures, the lusts of the world entering in and crowd out the seed. Very simply, an overcrowded heart. And let me say this, and I say it pastorally, I say it sincerely. But there's nothing that makes me tremble more than when I hear a Christian saying that they were too busy to engage in some vital occupation of their spiritual life. If that is the case, my friend, then you are too busy. Too busy. And there's no words that say it better than that old hymn, time for business, time for pleasure. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. And you see, these thorns, says the Lord, they simply grew up and they choked the seed, and it yielded no fruit. No fruit. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. And when the Savior says a thing like that, my friends, then you can be sure, doubt me if you like, you can be sure that it was a sincere word that the Savior said when he said, take heed, therefore. Pray that we all this night might be like that good ground in verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And as I say, all we have to do, really, in the light of a simple, straightforward parable with a simple, straightforward explanation, with a simple, straightforward application to our hearts and our minds, all we have to do is say, what kind of ground am I? You see, isn't this an amazing thing, my friends? This night, in the very reading of those words of the Savior, and I trust in the declaration of the truth of those words, this parable of the sower has been enacted. Hasn't it? Hasn't the word been sown? It's been read in our hearing. Christ's own words. Savior's own words. As I say, trusting, hopefully. Hasn't it been declared? Hasn't the seed gone out? Now, what ground are we? In the light of the very parable of the sower, enacted within these walls this night, what kind of ground, what kind of soil are we with regards to that word? And pray God that we might be good ground and bring forth that fruit that the Lord promises, 30, 60, and 100-fold as the case might be, to the praise and the honour of the Lord. Don't you let the devil snatch away that word, my friends. You get it into your heart now. Don't let anything grow up and clog it out and choke it out of your life. Don't let it only rest on the surface. Get it deep down into your heart and get all the truth of the gospel clearly into your soul, that there is salvation in Christ for all who call upon his name. Believe and you shall be saved. They that believe shall be saved. They that believe not shall be damned. And it's all down to the reception of this seed of the Word of God in the gospel. It's all down to that. And in the light of that, the parable of the sower is made applicable to our hearts and our souls. Now let us pray. We do ask thee, our gracious God, now to grant an entrance of thy word into all of our hearts, that it might be fruitful, that it might come forth, that it might multiply, that it might be to the praise and the honour of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And we do ask thee, our God, for those this night who have such hearts as render them as unbelieving and untrusting before thee. And we pray, whatever that condition is, indeed, our God, even where those hearts are hard, we thank thee that that word that is thy seed is also that plough of the gospel that can break up the stony heart and that can make the heart receptive to the good seed of thy word. We pray thee then, our God, to work in every way that is necessary in all of our hearts to bring praise and honour to Christ, an eternal bliss and blessing to our own souls. Hear us now as we look to thee and tell forth the praise of Jesus Christ our Saviour, and that all things might be acceptable to thee through him this night as we offer them before thee. Amen.